please turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 153 through 160. And this is section Resh. Children, this is the Hebrew letter that sounds like our R. So in the Hebrew, every single first word of every single verse starts with the letter Resh. It would be like if we had a poem where every line started with an R sound. I'm not going to try to make up poetry on the fly. My father could do that. I am not gifted that way. But this isn't simple poetry. Let's remember that this is the Word of God. Psalm 119, verses 153 through 160. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Well, as I was going over this, it was hard for me to come up with a theme. And so there are several, well, I guess I would say observations, meditations that I would have us take as we look at section Resh here. The first is this. We see the psalmist talking a lot about oppression. And there are a couple of things I'd want us to note about this. Number one, this is something which, and I know because I grew up singing hymns as well as psalms, man-made hymns generally do not speak of this. Man-made hymns generally do not speak of this. They speak of happy, happy, joy, joy. They speak of love and all that. But they do not speak, not very often, about all kinds of difficulties and hardships, not only outward but inwardly in the soul. About the only ones that I know of that do occasionally are those by the hymn writer William Cowper from the late 1700s, a friend of John Newton's, who was afflicted with terrible depression at times. But beyond that, I do not know of it. But God has given these psalms, and I've mentioned this before, that give us perfect worship because, well, they come from God himself, and he knows how he is to be worshipped. But they come perfectly touching our situation, because they come from the one who is our creator, who knows us. As we sometimes sing from Psalm 103, he knoweth our frame. He knoweth we are but dust. And so this is perfectly suited, not only for God's worship, but for the Christian's praise and for the Christian's plaint. God knows this because he knoweth our frame. He knoweth we are but dust. He knows because not only is he our creator, but God is also Emmanuel. He is God with us. He has become one of us in the person of his Son. He is the Word become flesh, which has dwelt among us. And we, just like the apostles, just like the evangelist John the apostle, we have beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And we know that Jesus knows by his human experience our affliction. He knows the need for deliverance. And he knows in the midst of trial that he has not forgotten his Father's law. He was tempted in every way such as we are, yet without sin, as we see in Hebrews 4:15. And so we can have confidence when we are in affliction. confidence when we are persecuted because we are holding on to our Father's word. That He knows our affliction, and He knows how to deliver us. He knows our affliction, and He knows how to strengthen us. The Spirit of holiness that dwells within us enables us to press on, to persevere. He enables us, and He Himself holds on to us. Well, that is one thing. A second is this. We see the Lord Jesus very truly speaking here. And I'm thinking particularly in verse 157, many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. There is the pattern for us, friends, and what God will enable us to do. Difficulty and persecution, affliction of all sorts, is our portion in this life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all, says Psalm 34:19. Jesus said, in the world you shall have much tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world, in John 16:30. Difficulty and affliction are our portion. It is very tempting for people who are merely moralistic, people who are Pharisees, to hold to God's law when it's in favor. When it walks, to use words of John Bunyan, in its silken slippers. But when they are under affliction, they bend and then they break. And may I say it? I shall. Just like the Boy Scouts of America have done. But by God's grace, we are enabled to be able to say characteristically and more truly, as we see in verse 157, many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. It is not because of our strength. It is not because of our superior morality or anything like that. It is because God has had mercy upon us and revived us, as we see in verse 156. That is the only source of strength. And that is the only way of perseverance. In fact, we come to the point, by God's grace, as the Spirit of holiness conforms us more and more to Jesus, that we see the treacherous, and no longer are we envious or covetous. No, we are disgusted because we love our God and we love His Word. We love His precepts, as we see in verse 159. And again, we cry out, revive me, Jehovah, according to your loving kindness. Not because we deserve it. No, we deserve just the opposite. It is because of his loving kindness, his chesed, which is maybe a little bit better translated as we have it in the Old King James, mercy. There's one last thing. And this will go along with what we think about when we get to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 in a couple of weeks. There we read that God's word is, well, all the scripture is God-breathed. All of it is God-breathed. And all of it is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And it has a purpose, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so that goes along with what we see in this last verse here. The entirety of your word is truth. Not just... Now, let's see. Not just the doctrinal parts. Or to narrow it down further, not just the New Testament doctrinal parts. Not just maybe the Ten Commandments. Not just the Sermon on the Mount. Not just the Golden Rule. No, the entirety of your word is truth. Not was. Not was. And again, as we'll see, God willing, in a couple of weeks, a couple of 3 weeks, it is not that part of God's word is now emeritus. To use a phrase of our late brother, Ray Joseph. No, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. There may be new applications and new realities in the New Testament, but there is some validity in every part of all of God's Word. That is the Word that speaks to us of the Word become flesh, in whom we live. And all the Word of God points to Him who has brought us mercy, who revives us by His Spirit. Well, as we think about this reliable, here I could use the resh right there, children, and refreshing Word, let us also sing it, and let us think about how God is working on us by His Word, and let us give thanks that we have such a Savior as we do, who knows our affliction, who is tempted in every way such as we are, without sin.